It is certainly a sweet blessing to be here with you all, and amen, Brother John. He is that sweet sacrifice, well-pleasing unto our Heavenly Father. Thank you for having me here. It is a very sweet blessing to be with you. I love your pastor and Sister Nelda with all my heart. He's very dear to me, as well as all the Bryant family. Love Brother Franklin. These are fathers in the ministry to me, and I appreciate them so much and their confidence to have me here. Song leaders, you did an excellent job. Thank y'all. I greatly enjoyed the song service. Brother Wesley, your precious prayer. Amen. And Friday night church, absolutely. You came in your limousines. I'd much rather be in a limousine than on a plane, you know. I just got to tell you, a couple of weeks ago went to Indiana and I got the blessing of spending the night in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport before I made it home. And it was a blessing because I've been asking the Lord, I need more study time, Lord, please carve out of my life. And I want to tell you, when you're trying to sleep in baggage claim, you're not going to. And I finally realized the blessing. I'm by myself in baggage claim, Fort Worth. I'm going to get my Bible out and read a little while. Before you know it, it was 7 o'clock in the morning. Blessing to be here. Please pray for us. My family, we have a group text with my wife and my two daughters and my son and my son-in-law and my I believe to be future daughter-in-law that I was blessed to baptize a couple of weeks ago. And in our group family text, there are sometimes some things that are silly. We're picking on one another. But sometimes it'll be something that I'm so very thankful for that the Lord has blessed us to see. Got a very good friend of mine. He just hasn't been blessed to see the truth. And he is over a youth group that the area high schools have. And his intentions are some kind of good. The only thing is he's pushing a man-made theology that just don't add up. And he posted online a student response card, and you can only check one of the boxes. First box says that I received this gospel message and I receive Jesus Christ now. The next box is I want to know more about this gospel. The next box is I've already heard this gospel and I've already accepted this gospel. And then the last one said, I'm not interested. There's a lot I could say about that, but I'm not going to. And he posted online, and my children took a screenshot of it because I thank the Lord not involved in that. And he said, 8 students came to Christ this morning. And so immediately, I'm so proud that as my children, they said, the Lord has blessed us incredibly to know the truth. Amen. We don't know why, but he's blessed us to see the truth. And it is, it's glorious. We're not picking up a crumb off the table. The Lord has blessed us to understand his truth by the Holy Spirit of God. That we sit at the banqueting table of truth, what you just heard Brother John preach. And my son-in-law wrote back, checking a box isn't the same as the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's proud of them, you know, when you know, they respond that way. Again, to the Lord, very, very thankful. If you have your 1611 King James translation, I screenshotted this passage of scripture in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Well, nowhere is it taught in God's word about you receiving Jesus Christ nor accepting him, is it? I just read a bunch of I wills, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I get that. I get it, because Isaiah 54 and 13 tells us about the divine education that God's children shall receive. And Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. I have great peace with the scripture that I just read to you. Don't you? Amen, I do. I'll amen that. It's I will. It's the Lord that does all of that. And it's such a glorious blessing. Now that's when you're getting to use, do you like this gospel or not? You see, it's a glorious gospel, what the Apostle Paul calls it. You see, what that fella and that man-made theology had given to those children, and eight of them had checked a box on that, that's not the gospel, because there's no good news in that. Paul called it the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says about that, he says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now this blessing that we understand, that the Holy Spirit of God has taught us and we have peace, that's the pillow for my head at night. Not wringing my hands about, am I right with the Lord? I preached a funeral a few weeks ago for a distant cousin. And they called me and they said, we don't have a pastor, we don't have a preacher. Would you please come to Natchez, Mississippi and preach the funeral? And I said, yes, I will come, Lord willing. And went. And the folks there were, we had to have everything graveside, and it was a pretty good humid day outside. We had the graveside service. And as I preached the message of God's sovereign grace, only by him providing the increase, there were people that came up to me afterwards and said, I've never heard anything like that before. Is that true? I said, I wouldn't have been sitting out here for 2 hours in a suit sweating to tell you a lie. That's the truth. That's the truth, but we're saved by God's marvelous grace. And Jesus Christ came to save his people from their sins, and that's exactly what he did. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Go with me. Let's look at this sweet, sweet sacrifice. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to certainly be mindful of the time. It's an hour ahead here, and I try to move the watch and keep up with all of that. So, you know, I'm sure that Sister Becky will give me a nod. That, thank God for preacher's wives. We get to going long. Hebrews chapter 10, if you have your 1611 King James translation, if you don't, please listen to me. I'll try to speak clearly. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Lord, be our helper. I'd like to look at these four things for just a few minutes. Jesus' offering was a unique offering. It's by one offering. It's by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God gave his very best, the very best. In that account of that parable of the prodigal son, what did the daddy do when the son came back home? The son comes back home. He has worked on this speech for a long time, how he's going to present it to daddy. If I can just get back and just be a servant, daddy in your house, have me back again. You see, that daddy had longingly be looking down that road for him. And I believe that son left with a little skip in his step. When he came back home maybe walking a little slower, a little different, a little more humble. Daddy didn't go get in the hog pen with him. He didn't enable his lifestyle. Daddy was just ready for when he came home. And what did he put on him? He put his best robe on him. He didn't go get the robe that he bleached the house with. He didn't go get the robe that he took care of the livestock with that maybe had a little stain or two on it. No, he said, go get my best robe. And that best robe covered up the stench and the pollution because that boy had been living in a hog pen. Have you ever been around a hog pen? Or been around that just a little bit? One time, I helped an uncle of mine haul some hogs one time. He sent me and a couple other fellows out there that had been hauling pup wood to load up hogs. There was no loading chute. That blew my mind. I'm from where cows are. We have a loading chute. We run them through a chute, run them in a trailer. It was just a pen, square pen. And I said, what in the world? How are we going to get them in the trailer? And they said, we've got to catch them. Needless to say, when I finally got home from bear-hugging hogs and got them in a trailer, when I walked up, my mama said, You go get the garden hose and you go around behind the house. But none of that's coming inside. None of that. What have you been doing today? I went and hauled hogs today. She goes, I can smell. I can smell. You see, that boy stunk. And he was dirty. And he was polluted. God Almighty covered our pollution and our stench of our sin with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that daddy put the best robe and covered up that stench. Oh, wow. God loves us. And this by one offering. Jesus' offering, it tells us, it's a unique offering. When all those other sacrifices that I read about in the first portion of this chapter, they're contrasted with the offering of Jesus, they find themselves as a shadow of the offering that was made in accordance to the will of Almighty God by Jesus Christ, His eternal Son. They pale in comparison. Can you imagine what that scene must have looked like with all of those thousands of animals that would come in and they would be sacrificed and the river of blood that must have poured out of the back of that temple and that place there. With our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just one precious drop of His blood. Oh, He lost way more than one drop. His blood was shed. But our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, it pales in comparison. But those old sacrifices, they were a shadow of the offering made in accordance to the will of God by His darling Son, Jesus Christ. And again, there were multitudes upon multitudes of bullocks and goats and sheep that would run through there when it would be sin offering, Day of Atonement, whatever time that it was, which they offered year by year continually, it says. But none of those could do what the one offering of Jesus did. Truly, truly, He is the chief among 10,000. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, it tells us in Song of Solomon. It tells us that Jesus' offering was a perfect offering, perfected. According to Hebrews 10 and 1, the offerings of the Old Testament could not make the comers thereunto perfect. Could not do it. But it tells us, for by one offering He hath perfected. It's done. That's past tense. When Jesus gave His perfect life on the cross of Calvary, He perfected, He justified the elect. And you're justified only one way in the eternal courtroom of Almighty God, and that's by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But that justification by faith that's taught in God's Word, a lot of people get a lot of confusion about that. Not O Baptists. Because we understand in the courtroom of our mind, that faith that we have that's been given to us by the Holy Spirit of God, that's fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And you cannot produce fruit of the Spirit unless you're in possession of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residency in our hearts. And now justification by faith. I hang on to the finished work of Jesus Christ with everything I've got. It is the peace that's the pillow for my head. And it causes me to lay my head down at night. And if it's it, I'm ready to go home. I'm on a plane leaving Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's tried to take off two or three times. But we got to recalculate because we waited till a storm came to Dallas. I don't understand that. Why you wait for the storm to come and then you go, all right, we're fixing to take off. Just doesn't seem right to me. But I was ready to get home. Clothes made it home a while later. But anyway, we go taking off. A little lady beside me, very nervous, very upset. I've opened the tray up and I'm reading a little bit, God's Word. And she said, I don't like flying like this. And I said, well, I don't like flying at all. So I said, I don't care for it. I used to have to, but I said, look, to go preach the gospel, I'll ride a donkey to get there. It's just that this was the way that we figured out was going to be the easiest and get back to get there. And she said, do you think we're going to be all right? And I said, yes, ma'am. We're going to be all right one way or another. And I said, I know you don't want to hear that right now. But I said, we're going to be all right one way or another. But I said, I've prayed and I've got peace. And she said, well, would you pray again? said, "Yes, ma'am." And was very thankful. Again, had a safe travel and everything, but I did. And all of that, that, you know, they've recalculated. You had to go back and get more fuel. There wasn't enough fuel on the fuel truck. Sounds like guys I work with. So the fuel truck has to go get some more fuel to come back. Been on the plane for 3 hours and it's never taken off. I'm sitting there going, I could walk to the house, you know. And you take off and now you're going to fly 2 extra hours to fly around a storm. And the flight's bumpy and all of that. But I said, you know what? If this would be it, I just left an incredible church meeting. And if this is it, Lord, I'd be ready to go on home. Ready to go. I can't wait to see Jesus. At this funeral, there were some folks talking about that, you know, this man was going to get to see Papaw and get to see Mamaw and get to see everybody. And when I preached, I said, it's going to be a place where congregations ne'er break up. It's going to be glorious. But I said, I'm going to tell you what. It's getting to the feet of Jesus. I want to get to his feet. I just want to hang on and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. By your one offering, you perfected forever. Forever, it says. It's a sufficient offering. He perfected forever. When Jesus laid down his life in the room instead of his children, those that the Heavenly Father gave him, those that the Heavenly Father chose before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ is going to execute God's plan perfectly. You know why? Because he's perfection. He's the perfect Savior. He's going to execute it perfectly. The Holy Spirit of God is going to born again every heir of promise somewhere between conception and death. That's God's business. You may leap for the womb. You may leap in your mama's womb. Some people have said they remember the exact time when it happened with them. It may be that you go as a child, I've always loved the Lord. I love hearing folks say all of the accounts of that, but you know whose business it is? It's God's business, and it's done by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not you checking a box. It's the Holy Spirit of God that moves you to even want to hear about this Jesus Christ. And you can't hear enough about him. You're a twice born soul. You're heaven bought, you're heaven born, and you're heaven bound one glorious day because of that same amazing grace. By that same grace, we're preserved. Heaven's our home. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not one thing, not sin, Satan, nor self is going to separate you from that. Perfected forever. And Jesus' offering was made for a specific, particular people. Them that are sanctified. The offering that was made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he sanctified in this verse the elect family of Almighty God. Jesus Christ, he's a unique offering. He's a one offering. He's perfected them forever that are sanctified. This truth of particular redemption, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ proclaims in his prayer in John chapter 17. Listen to the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he's praying to his Father. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. In John 17, and now 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. If you understand that, you thank God. Because he's blessed you by the Holy Spirit of God to understand that your eternal salvation is not about what you decided to do. Checking a box, accepting him, none of that is taught in God's word. You can't qualify that as gospel. That's man-made theology. The glorious gospel is what Brother John was preaching. And the glorious gospel is what that angel was telling Joseph all about in Matthew chapter 1. I was talking to a lady the other day, and I told her, I said, well, pull out the everlasting covenant of grace, and why don't you read it yourself? And she goes, well, I don't have a copy of it. I said, yeah, you do. You got a copy of God's will. You've got a copy of the everlasting covenant of grace. Do you know in God's word, in the 1611 King James translation, everywhere that you read a word shall, you're reading from the everlasting covenant of grace. You see, because you've got to have authority, you've got to have sovereignty to use that word. Because that word means a certainty. Boy, we use language. I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. I have people, they make fun of me because I put in my emails at work, Lord willing. You make fun of me all you want, but it's still Lord willing. I sleep good at night, but it's still Lord willing. I don't know half the time who's showing up on my construction crew. Between COVID and everything else that goes on, stimulus checks and everything else is happening. You know, you're trying to light a fire under people that's got wet wood. It's hard to do. But when you read of God's word, it tells us that we're to use the language of Lord willing. Lord willing. You know, I have people going, you're going all the way to Georgia. Lord willing, yes. Lord willing. See, one of my favorite verses in scriptures is Matthew 1 and 21. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You have a copy. You're reading directly from the everlasting covenant of grace. Is there any confusion in that verse? Again, I'm not the sharpest knife, but this right here tells me that this word being used right here, it's a declaration, it's a certainty, it's a surety. There is nothing uncertain about this statement. You can't read this statement and go, well, I really don't know what he's saying. She shall bring forth the son, Joseph. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. His name means Jehoshua saves. Even by his very name and his very nature, he's our Savior. And it says, and he shall save his people from their sins. We know from this verse that the salvation of God's children is sure, even as sure as God himself, because of Jesus' very name and his very nature. It means Savior. And we need to always understand, save from what? Save from hell. That's what it is. It's salvation from hell to heaven by the free and unconditional and sovereign grace of Almighty God. There are no conditions for the sinner to meet. There's no boxes to check. There's no laws to keep. There's no work to perform. There's no action on my part to perform in order to be saved from heaven to hell. None. The first time I really understood this verse, I will never forget. The old preacher was preaching this. I've been going to an old Baptist church my whole life. It just took me into my early 20s before I got enough courage to get up and walk down an aisle. I was painfully bashful. That's what people, I didn't make this up. You're going, yeah, he was bashful. I was. I got in the Mazingo family. That's what happened to me. I used to be painfully bashful and shy. Well, I heard that preacher preach that message. And I finally heard it. And I said, boy, if I can just walk up front. Walked up to that old preacher, my pastor. And he said, he's a big old man. Just about broke my back hugging me. That was all right. He said, when you want to get baptized? I went, now. You need to go get your clothes? I'm good now. We headed on down to a catfish pond. I was ready to get baptized now. I don't want to wait any longer. No, I've wasted enough time. Now is the time. And I understood that that Jesus Christ, God's Son, that education, that divine education from on high waved over me. And I understood by that peace that came over me that He saved His people from their sins. He got the job done. Jesus died for His people. He died to save them. He did it. It's finished.
Amen. Amen.
1 minute, I would cry. The next minute, I'd laugh. You know, you're a mess sometimes. I understood what a bankrupt, and I didn't need to walk in front of those people. I'm not worthy to, is how I felt. But the Spirit of God was pulling me. I knew that I had to get up there to that preacher and join the church. And I'd cry talking a minute, the next minute I was laughing. That preacher told me, he goes, "You a mess." I said, "Yes, sir, I am." He goes, "I can't wait to baptize you." You see, this isn't a proposition. This is a statement of fact. This is not a type. This is not a shadow. This is not a figure in the Bible. It doesn't need interpretation. It's clear. Just let the verse say what the verse say. "And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He's the last Adam. And he's the reason why one glorious day, because of what he did at Calvary, we're going home, sweet home, to be with him forevermore. God bless you.